48. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope all is well. Hope you guys are ready for a filled day, right? Talking Tuesdays, we always talk a lot, usually with you guys, which we will do that. But we're going to talk to some guests as well. We've got Slade Bolden, number one, coming up at 1130. We'll talk with him, get his thoughts on the Iron Bowl a little bit, SEC Championship game preview. And the same thing at 12 o'clock, top of the hour, we'll talk with Clint Lamb. From Cover Crimson, same thing, talking about the Iron Bowl, SEC Championship game. Talked plenty about the Iron Bowl yesterday, but always like to get other perspectives, right? And we'll do that. Excuse me. And then we'll talk a little bit about the SEC Championship game rematch with the Georgia Bulldogs. You guys already know, familiar opponent. You got Kirby Smart on the other side of things, looking to get his revenge, right, after beating them in, what was it, week four, I believe, of the regular season. Well, we get to see these guys again. And Chase might not only be the, it might not be the last time we see them, because we win this football game, more than likely they still are a lock for the playoffs. We definitely would be a lock in. Who knows? Maybe you see them for a trilogy in one season, which would be very interesting. I don't know if that's ever happened before in college football. Probably has way back when. Maybe it never has. But I feel like teams played each other for, you know, three times, a third time in one single season is kind of crazy. But, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, in this day and age in college football, I think you can pretty much expect just about anything. I mean, it's a little bit of a circus going on. We talked a lot about that yesterday, the whole coaching corral going on. Lane Kiffin gave his press conference. Maybe we'll hear like a little bit, like a snippet or so from that. I know a lot of people were tuned in, wanting to hear, you know, him formally address him accepting the LSU job. We listened to a little bit of Alex Golish yesterday, the new head coach at Auburn. I mean, the SEC is, it's been shaking up, Chase. It's all over the place, but that's what makes college football interesting, I guess. That being said, we also have to look forward to this evening, the new playoff rankings unveil, which I think could be pretty important, Chase, depending on how these rankings go tonight. I guess that could potentially have an effect on, you know, post, I guess, conference championship weekend, maybe. I don't know. The reason I say that is, and we'll talk a little bit more about it here in a little bit, but typically – where teams are ranked this week kind of gives you an idea on where things could end up after championship weekend. Because there are a lot of questions right now. A lot of people still wondering or having these concerns about Alabama and their position post-Saturday, right? Pending the outcome of this football game. We're going to definitely talk about that a little bit today and definitely a lot more tomorrow. We'll have Greg Robertson join us again and break down the rankings when they come out and you know, do all that like we did last couple weeks with him. He does a great job breaking that down. So we'll do all that and more as well. Plus, you always can still tap in with us on this Talking Tuesday. Just because we're lined up with guests doesn't mean you guys can't get on here. 205-342-9904. I promise I'm going to do my best to get to you guys when we can. Looks like we'll probably have a window this next segment. I'll just go ahead and take some guests. And then we'll have Slade and then Clint. And then after that, we'll probably open back up. So if you guys... I see Ricky's on here now. We'll go ahead and take Ricky early since he's already lined up. But if you guys want to wait, that way you're not sitting on the phone lines, maybe wait until we finish up with Clint at the top of the hour to start calling in. I just want to save you guys some time so you're not caught sitting there waiting on the lines. So just be on the lookout for that. Per usual, I got to remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts, the people that make it all happen. Remember to check them out if you're dealing with any type of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, the Good Feet Store will take care of it. Clinically proven to do so in just 4 short weeks. Again, walk-ins are welcome, or you can go to their website, goodfeet.com, schedule an appointment, find the nearest location to you. These things are phenomenal. It's as simple as putting them in your shoes, boots, whatever it is that you wear on your feet. They work with them, and they will get to work ASAP. And within 4 weeks, that pain should be eliminated and alleviated. If you're like me and you're on your feet all day walking around doing things, I'm telling you, these things are game changers. So give them a shot. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa is where you can find them. Or you can always find the nearest location to you on their website. They are nationwide. 5 stores in Alabama. They're growing fast and for a reason, right? That is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Chase, I know we talked about earlier, man. It's gloomy, man, but how's everything going, bro?
I can't complain, Christian. It's good to hear your voice, but it's nice. Just kind of this whole Lane Kiffin thing has been kind of rocking the world a little bit. And just like you said, with all these SEC coaches left and right, hired, not hired, you know, in the running, not even considered. It's just, it's crazy. But yeah, I'm excited really to hear more of these coaches, especially with Alabama and Georgia, you know, the big one. And honestly, I wouldn't get tired of it seeing Georgia and Bama play again because they've had so much good results and so many memories and just things that are going on between the two. But I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it definitely should be. And look, the SEC is always going to be, entertaining conference. I mean, look at the coaching tree that's in the conference, all the coaches, you know, that are here that are really good coaches. You're always going to have really good talent. And I know Georgia, Alabama, you know, sometimes gets a little repetitive, but it's always going to be a good game. You never expect anything less than that. Chase, I don't know if you've heard this story yet. I just threw it up on the stream. I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on this. I thought it was kind of interesting. Toosie, I don't know if you guys have heard him. I'm sure our listeners probably don't know who that is. He's a rapper, though, and he's, you know, pretty popular rapper. Now, I wouldn't have him up there with some of the big dogs, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like this guy's just like some random underground rapper. I mean, he's got, you know, some music that's, you know, pretty well played. Well, you're reading that correctly. This dude just committed to Syracuse to play football on scholarship. Now, I know you're wondering, how does that work? Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't even know. I guess, I mean, he still had eligibility. I'm assuming that he didn't immediately get into any college athletics. So I guess he was focused on his music career. But I do know that he had been posting videos, training, and saying that this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to go back and be a student athlete, which I don't blame him. Hell, with NIL, he can make some good money doing it too. Well, he ended up committing to Syracuse, Chase. So talk about college football being crazy with coaching hires. I wanted to throw some more crazy news out there for you guys. I mean, you have a legit rapper that just committed to play college football. And, like, this is not a joke. I mean, I'll pull up some videos of him, like, training and running routes. I think he's going to play wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken. But that's where we're at with college football. Not only is NIL crazy, coaching fires and hires crazy, but you've legit got rappers coming back to school and being athletes, man. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. College football is at an all-time high right now. That's I guess that's all I got to say on that one. All right, let's do this. Let's hit a timeout real quick. That way when we come back, we got plenty of time to talk to Ricky. Plus, we got Slade Bolden joining us at 11:30 and Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson at 12. Again, breaking all things down. Alabama, Iron Bowl, SEC championship matchup against Georgia. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America.
For his clients. Remember, M for money and Mez Reno.
If it has a logo on it, call me, 205-800-8000.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, we're going to dive into some SEC championship talk and a whole bunch of other things. But first, we're going to go to the phone lines early since we got some guests lined up for today. 205-342-9904. Again, we got Slade at 11:30, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson at 12. All that coming up. But first, we got Ricky on the phone lines. Ricky, welcome in.
What's up, man?
Man, what's going on, Ricky? I can't complain, brother. How's everything?
Man, so I tagged you in something on Twitter.
Let me look. I got it here.
Let me see it.
The schedule changes,
but, like, this was a response, like, to people who are, like, ruining the sport. because teams like Texas are, like, if we're being honest, they are being punished for losing to Ohio State and Florida. But now, like, I think Alabama looked at that and said, all right, well, since you guys are punishing teams for playing, like, top-tier opponents, we just going to replace our USS game with Chattanooga. And then the following year, we're going to add Marshall in Carolina to our schedule.
Wow. So yeah, I didn't click on it, so I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot to mention it because I saw it, but I never clicked on it, so I didn't know what exactly the changes were. But yeah, it's evident that they said, "Hey, committee only values these wins. Why the hell would we waste our time playing these, you know, non-conference competitive games, risking it all?"
Dude, that's so bad.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that it's come to that, but I put a lot of that on the committee, man. I mean, you have to honor the teams that decide to go out and play, you know, stiff competition, the teams that are willing to go risk it and play these big games. I mean, look, let's take Texas as an example, right? I hate to go to war for Texas, but I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. They decided to open the season against Ohio State. Now, I don't know how far back that game was playing, but we all know Ohio State's always a good program, so you could at least expect them to be, you know, at the bare minimum, a 9-win team. I mean, I feel like they've had, you know, years straight of 10-win teams. So you choose, as you know, as Texas, you choose to go play them first week of the season. Well, now that game, granted, they lost other games. I get that. But still, say they had a cupcake that game, they would be a 2-loss team, and they would be sitting in the same position as Oklahoma, you know, expecting. I say expecting because it's not necessarily guaranteed, but expecting to be in the college football playoffs. But because they chose to take that leap of faith and bring, you know, great entertainment to the sport and take on that challenge, unfortunately, they're a 3-loss team right now. So I hate to say it, but I mean, I can't really fault the ADs. I mean, I don't like it only because I don't like cupcake games, but I respect it because I think it'd be almost malpractice to keep putting your team in a bad spot, scheduling tough games like that, knowing that it more than likely is going to go against you if you don't win the game.
And everybody who thinks that, like, well, good, like, it's good that Alabama is scheduling this game, I can't even knock them for it because you have this group of people that's just, like, single-handedly just, like, ruining, like, college football and, like, these great matchups. So now if a Michigan team in the future it looks really good because that's still a young core, and then they play a team like Oklahoma, that's really good. Like now, like that game is like potentially canceled in the future. Like or like I think we had Ohio State like scheduled for 2027. That's gone.
Oh, of course.
Like these really good matchups, man. Like so now it's just like now the schools. Not that I think that they're punishing like fans or anything like that. I just think that it's a direct response to this group of people. So I think Texas should have won their games. Like I'm not like sticking up for Texas. Like you went up there, you got like a really good roster, you lost the game. You could have won it, but you didn't. And then you lost to UF and then to Georgia. Your roster isn't bad at all, so it's no excuse. You know, if you wanted to be in, you should have been in. But I do think they are. It's like when they select teams for the playoff tonight, or not, or they put their rankings out. Like Texas is still a team that can probably beat like at least 5 of the schools that they know are about to get in ahead of them. So and Vandy has that case too. I just think that these people just kind of ruin like the sport of college football going forward. Like whatever happens this year, like it's going to be like a tidal wave that kind of like hit because of it.
And you're referring to the committee?
I think the committee, they're ruining like the game. Like that's why. And like, I think the only way to like fix it is to like get away with the ranking system and do it by like a rating system. So you kind of rely on Vegas in that regard. Like, you know that BYU can't beat Texas on a neutral field. Like, you know, although Texas Tech is really good this year, I probably would still lean on the Longhorns to like get a win against them if they play at the Rose Bowl. I just think like at some point it should go to that instead of like kind of dealing with people who think because this team is like 11-1, so they're better than this 3-loss SEC team that had to play like a gauntlet of a schedule.
Right. No, I agree 100% with you. I mean, but the issue is, that's, it falls on the committee, right? I mean, they look at a lot of these schedules and they value a lot, you know, the wins and losses more than most other factors. But I'm with you. I mean, I think a Texas football team is a much more dangerous football team than a Duke that just won their conference championship. Tulane, really a number of these teams, right? I mean, in Texas, a 3-loss football team, but they're playing a lot better right now at this point in the season. And we know week 1, they played the best team in the country, allegedly, according to the ranking. So, I mean, look, it's part of it. I did look at we still, as of now, are scheduled to play Florida State in 26 as part of a non-conference game. Ohio State is still set for 27. I am curious to see, and 28 as well. I am curious to see if those end up changing, though, Ricky. I'm not going to lie to you. I wouldn't be shocked if we end up being able to change. Yeah, I was about to say.
I think we still play Florida State. The Ohio State one, I think we replace that. If they could, I know they would change that to like, all right, instead of Ohio State, let's just schedule USF. We'd rather deal with that. Or even then, they could still say like, well, let's schedule Eastern Illinois again instead of Ohio State. Like, all of that is coming, and it's not just Alabama. I don't think either. I think Texas will do that. I think Ohio State is already doing that. They just don't know it. I think Miami doesn't really have an excuse because the ACC is like bad on its own, but like Georgia, Alabama, of course, Texas, OU, these blue blood teams will like start like really like altering their schedule, and these good games are like just going to go away because like 12 people in a room.
I mean, that's kind of how it is, but at the same time, people want an expanded, you know, opportunities, which I understand. But again, I think until they come up with some like concrete criteria, right, we're going to see these teams move in this direction. And it is what it is. Now, they always say that they're willing to make changes. We see little changes made, just like last year. It was initially the four conference champions all were like the top four seats, which I'm glad they got rid of that, because if that was the case still, say Duke wins ACC championship game, they would have had like a bye and been a top seed. And then I think they would have like 5 losses, I think. Clearly an issue. So they fixed that. So who knows, Ricky, maybe they'll start changing a little bit more. But until they do that, you're right. You're going to see some of these things continue in college football. But I mean, at this point, I mean, what the hell? I mean, you got NIL's out of control. You got coaches leaving, getting hired. We're not even in the postseason yet. We're seeing all these changes. It's just kind of a mess, but I don't know. We'll have to see if it gets cleaned up one day.
They still get it wrong. Even Florida State went undefeated. They got that wrong. I was glad because we got in, of course, but they got that wrong. Like, Ole Miss just lost their head coach, and like, I think all of their offensive staff, they may leave Ole Miss out, even though they had like the best season, I think, in like program history.
Like, they may leave this.
Ole Miss,
if they leave Ole Miss out because of the coaching changes, and I know that's similar to the whole Florida State argument, I would hate it for those guys. And I know those guys would, I mean, I know they already have strong feelings against Lane Kiffin, I'm sure, at least most of them. If they got left out of the playoffs because of that change, I hate that for the players. They shouldn't do that. I understand the argument, but that's not fair to those guys. I pray they don't do that.
But put Texas in, they might just do it. Like, you can't really, like,
rule that out. You can't. That would be, listen, if you take a one-loss SEC team like Ole Miss, their only loss being a solid loss, it was a close one to Georgia. Right, who's a top team, right? Yeah, nah. And put Texas in, nah. There would be, no. That committee would be burned to the ground by midnight.
I think it's coming, man. Like, I wouldn't rule it out with these people. I'm just saying.
We'll see. We'll see, man. We'll have to see.
Appreciate
I can tell you what else is coming up. Slade Bolden. We got him waiting and ready to roll. But, Ricky, I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right, good deal. That was our guy, Ricky, out in California. Always enjoy talking to him. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by the great Slate Bolden, who's hanging out behind the scenes, and he'll be on with us here after this quick timeout. You listen to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Or find us on Facebook, Andrew Conifer Agency. Once again, you can reach us at 205-722-9201. Allstate, are you in good hands?
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are
Jesus was right. It is more blessed to give than receive. Wish the next person you see a very Merry Christmas from Taco Casa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We're now connected with our first guest of the day, the great Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver. Slade looking all sharp, man. Got his vest on. It is cold. You're in, you back in?
I'm in Fort Worth.
Texas.
Fort Worth. Yeah, it's cold now, but I'm trying. I don't think my mind is, I'm trying to decide whether I either want to go on the course today, whether I want to sell insurance today, or whether I want to put on a headset and coach, because I think I've hit all three of those styles. So, but you know, I got the Peter Millar, Mobley and Sons, arm and a leg pullover under this vest, you know. Whoa. I love my guys over at Mommy and Sons, but last time I was in there, they rang me up. I was like, God.
Tell them to give you a sponsorship for coming on here. Tell them to sponsor your segment. Tell them just give us some polos or something, and we can work something out. Maybe we'll draft something like that up.
I would love to. I mean, that was my first NIL deal, was with Mobley store. Yeah.
Wait, so you were like in like the first line of NIL, now that I think about it, because you're right. Like, once it first cleared, mm-hmm. You did go do so. How the hell? Who set that up? Did they reach out to you, or you just knew them? Or,
well, I mean, I'd known them. I'd known Christopher the Son and Brian over there as well, like the manager. And we just kind of, you know, once NIL hit, he reached out to me. I can't remember who reached out to me, and we just kind of went from there. And I had no idea how this was going to work, but it was one of the coolest NIL deals I had, because I got two really nice Hickey Freeman suits, and you know, they gave me some money monthly, just, you know, for posting and stuff. But man, they really took care of me, gave me a bunch of like Cuts clothing. Hell, this is a Cuts brand vest that I got on. And then I had a deal, which led to a deal with Cuts my rookie year, and I had to post a lot. Don't get me wrong, but I got so many clothes. I mean, I couldn't tell you last time I really, truly bought clothes. I bought shirts or pants here and there, but not a full-on wardrobe, because I've just accumulated so many clothes. And, you know, I'm sure you did. You're playing, and, you know, some deals here and there. Some companies will send you stuff.
But I was doing stuff with Bill. They've blown up. It was like before they got as big as they are now. But they, they used to send me a whole ton of stuff, and I'm like, man, I need to circle back with those guys, because it's some good stuff. I mean, I have like literally probably like 15 shirts, sweatpants, all type of stuff. Yeah, I'm the same way, bro. If I get it from brands, man, sure. I ain't going to the store and buying, man. Nowadays, I'm looking at Black Friday. I'm like, Aloe's Black Friday. It's still like $100 for some pants. I'm like,
yeah, yeah. So, pockets, bro, Cuts is like basically, you know, very similar to Bill. They're competitors. And, you know, they're very similar in a lot of ways. I really like their t-shirts that had like, instead of the long, like T, now they didn't make those. Mm-hmm. Well, like the front and the back was long, but it had like a split hem at the bottom, which I always liked because, you know, at one time the long back tee was definitely in style. And I had some. Don't get me wrong. I had some. I was rocking them. But, yeah, I wish knowing now I'd have got pullovers. I'd have got vests. I'd have got jogger, you know, like business casual. Everything. Yeah, but I was just like, what can I actually look good to wear out tonight? You know, that's what I was thinking, or you know, walk to a game wearing, because I wouldn't worry. I didn't think I was going to be selling insurance this soon in my life.
Hey, man. <all. laughs> Hey, but I'm sure you probably crushed it, man. That's what I said. We're going to use this to get some sponsorship deals. That way we can get some clothes again, man.
I'll definitely reach out to them. I mean, yeah. Hey, what's the worst they could say? No.
Absolutely. That's it. That's my rule, man. Worst they can say is no. Slade, I'll say this, man. We told Auburn no, right? Iron Bowl this past weekend. They thought they had a chance. Hell, they were marching down the field. They almost did have a chance to tie it up at the end. But no cigar. Tell me what you thought about it, man. 27-20 win over. I thought Ty, he played a little bit better. You know, he had those three touchdowns, some nice throws on those. Still not his best work, but hey, we're playing an Iron Bowl. We're on the road. We know what comes with that. Running game was better. There's some positives. What'd you think about the Iron Bowl, Slade?
I mean, typical Iron Bowl fashion, just getting my stress level way too high. I went over to my cousin's house. We're, you know, sitting there with family, and we're watching the game. You know, you got most of the aunts and nieces and nephews playing card games, and me, my cousin, and my mom, my grandmother sitting there, and she's yelling more than me. And just, it's typical Iron Bowl fashion. It's never an easy win. That's one thing that it keeps me from like saying, oh, we should have took advantage of these opportunities. We didn't, you know, we kept them in the game. Like, that's one thing that I was worried about. You know, we really didn't take away the game from them. You know, we didn't truly like dominate, and we kept them alive, kept them in the game, which it always scares me in the Iron Bowl, because if you keep Auburn at Auburn in the Iron Bowl, you know, a touchdown or two away from winning, something always happens. Fluke BS happens. And luckily, we, for the first time that I've ever experience watching Iron Bowl or playing an Iron Bowl, we got the luck of the draw when it came to penalties, when it came to interceptions. I mean, you know, turnovers, like some of those things normally do not go our way. So I was happy about that. Not because I want to win that way, but it is nice to, you gotta have some luck in this game. You know, you want to put yourself in the best situations possible that you don't have to worry about those kind of things, you know, that we need a pick here. You don't want to be in a situation where you need a turnover or you need a penalty to be called on the other team. But, hey, sometimes you do. Sometimes you need it. And luckily for us, I guess the football guys, or I don't know, I guess maybe the spirits at Dornier were sleeping that night, because we were able to get some calls our way for sure.
Bro, I was thinking the same thing, and I was saying this as well, like the amount of drops they had. Like, I'm like, you know, you talk about the spirit of the haunted house. I'm like, man, it seemed like it had an adverse effect on them, because I'm like, they couldn't catch anything to save their lives. And really, just like you said, I feel like we were kind of, even with some penalties, we're kind of getting the luck of the draw. So it was interesting, but nonetheless, man, I mean, like you said, typical Iron Bowl fashion. I mean, there's always going to be a chance. We were up 17-0, and then it seemed like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like you said, we just don't always just keep our foot on the gas in the aspect of really just pulling away. It seems like we always let these teams hang, but at the end of the day, we find ways at the end to really make it count, except for Oklahoma. That was the one time outside of that we always find a way. Well, tell me this, Slade. One of the main reasons we were able to have that clutch moment was a very gutsy call on fourth and two. I think it was inside the 10. Chip shot field goal. Connor Talty, he had been perfect all game. You know, started with the 45-yarder. Shout out to him for responding the right way. Yeah, so that wasn't really an excuse to not feel confident with him there. I mean, I know he does have a little bit of history being shaky, but I want your thoughts on this because to me, and I thought I was like, maybe I'm one of the few people because I saw everybody like, man, like the nuts on Coach DeBoer, excuse my language, but they're like, that's so confident. But in my head, I'm like, man, I know he's aggressive. We see all the aggressive decisions he makes, but I'm like, to me, that was like, brother, with all the marbles on the line, we're talking about a trip to the playoffs and the championship game. I'm like, that was like aggressive level, like here. What'd you think about that call? Do you think it was a little much, or do you think you're like, hey man, do what you do, coach?
I mean, I love it. Obviously, we'll be saying one thing if it didn't work out, right?
Exactly.
That's typical. You know, if you're going to roll the dice as the head coach, you know, you get praised if it works, you get blamed if it doesn't, and ridiculed. I loved it so much. I tweeted. I don't know if you know the old South Park, the dad, Randy.
The wheelbarrow.
Wheelbarrow carrying the nuts. I was like, Coach DeBoer right there. Hey, that was true. I think, obviously, you work all these situations, right? I remember, you know, with Coach Saban, we work all these different types of scenarios and situations that could possibly come up in the game. And whether that's 2 minute, whether that's red zone, whether that's a, you know, fourth and one, fourth and two, third and whatever, all these different scenarios. So I had a strong feeling that once we didn't get that third down conversion, I understood that, hey, like obviously getting a touchdown in this situation and finishing this drive with a touchdown is the best outcome possible, right? To win this game. I had a feeling once that play call, before we even called it, that, hey, we're coming out there, we're going to try to convert this fourth and two. This play is the most efficient, most dialed up play that Grubb has ever schemed up, ever ran in practice against whatever covers they were running. It looked like man, if I remember correctly. So they had their best play for this situation in their back pocket. Mm-hmm. Now, you can have everything go right. You know, the best play call against the best coverage, a good snap, great pocket, and it still can go wrong, right?
Right.
But thank God it worked. And it was beautiful, and it was gutsy, and it was awesome. I mean, that was amazing to see. And you know, then we come back, we get the pick, and I thought it was over then. And then it was still like, all right. Thankfully, we persevered and got the win. But yeah, super gutsy call. I loved it as a offensive guy. I think those moments, like we've been in, like in 2021, obviously I was there. I remember it. That's the most, I guess, memorable Iron Bowl for me. We called some gutsy plays, you know, and everything was on the line at that point going into that four overtime. So I loved it, but it was, man, what a play call. It was definitely the perfect play for the perfect scenario and, you know, great poise by Ty and just great job Isaiah Horton all night, just getting those, the hat trick, man. That was awesome to see.
Yeah, I got it pulled up right here. Can you see it all right?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, if this goes bad, we are we're in trouble. But yeah,
so I'll tell you right here, you can tell that it's man. So if you run that back, I know you got to worry about the YouTube situation. So you see how the DBs are kind of on different levels here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll run what we call like halo or top hat or lock and combo.
Yeah.
So normally with a bunch scenario, if they're playing man and they'll lock the point man,
Yep. And I'll tell you what Georgia did to us in the national championship, and they really figured us out. The point man, who's kind of soft press right now, he's off about 2 yards, the DB on the point man, they would attach him to the third inside receiver. And I was me a lot. So it was hard for me to run like the choices, you know, trying to leverage that to break in or out, and also just run down the field routes, because I'm already off the ball. I got to basically with release, and then he's right there on the line of scrimmage. It's not like I'm off and I have time to attack him straight on, because you still kind of don't really know if it's man or not. You can see like the levels are all in different levels, so they can kind of maneuver. But they didn't do really a good job, because I believe they're probably thinking I need to be tighter, because we are tighter and everything moves faster. So obviously you see here kind of a slight pick.
Yeah, I was about to say, kind of elements of a rub route you see with Bernard right there. And I mean, look, like Smart, you know, bunch is always going to cause issues for defense. I can speak on that. Just bunch rules, man, especially because, like you just mentioned, I mean, there's all different types of bunch rules, whether you're locking the point guy, whether you're playing traffic, whether you're playing box, you know, just trying to just, you know, zone them out. But clearly, you know, it was a good job, good play call there. Just because, again, anytime you have bunch formation, especially in like this area of the field, it's kind of the stuff you have to get to, because there's not much field to work with as an offense. I mean, you know that it's hard to really have a whole bunch of success in the red zone and goal line areas like that. But ended up working out nice. Yeah, it happened quick, but great play call. Again, it worked out, which is awesome. But I was just like, God, man, I hope he knows if that did not go well. These fans of this fan base aren't going to live it down. So I'm glad it worked out well. But, you know, the more you think about it, he does have a point. Obviously, I trust his judgment. He's a head coach. He's had success for a reason. You think about it, Auburn's backed up. If you don't get it right here, you do trust your defense, I would hope, as good as we've been playing the last few games. Even in this game, we played pretty solid. But for Auburn to have to drive the field 90-something yards, even to score, you know, I mean, I think that would have – clearly, you would feel confident you'd get the football back. So it makes more sense, but
And I get that too. So it's cool. Like watching this route, I don't know, or watching this concept, I don't know if somebody busted, but we ran a very similar play. And selfishly, I scored in this play where JMO was the point man. Believe it was Ja'Cory Brooks was the number one receiver outside, and I was the number three. Mm-hmm. And he ran a corner, and Ja'Cory Brooks ran that kind of B line, which is what Isaiah Horton's running right here. And I ran kind of like a with release spot route. I could break out or sit it down.
Yep.
The corner and the point safety took the corner with JMO, and I was just butt naked. If I didn't score on that play, then I should just quit at that, like on right then and there, just take, you know, pull an AB and just leave the stadium. But it's a very similar, I guess, similar situation, but it looks like the number three is coming on like kind of a glance type look. Maybe he's running some kind of basic route, which is like just a 10 to 12 yard in route here. So very, very good concept. It's a very, very well, I guess. Yeah. And just like really a lot of people use this type of concept in the red zone, especially low red.
Yeah, limited space to work with. You got to find ways, because, I mean, look at the defense. I mean, see, I mean, they literally are dropping. I want to say they only rushed three on here. So, I mean, that means they're dropping eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I can't see where the other guy would be, but you get my point. I mean, it's hard to throw a touchdown in there. I like what Ty does here, too. He completely looks off this safety intentionally, right? He puts all his attention on Edwards first thing, knowing – he's not going over there. I highly doubt that's the first key. I'm pretty sure he's doing this to draw his attention, because you'll see how quick, boom, his head snaps back. This is where he's going the whole time. But really nice job by Ty, completely, you know, putting his attention there. Look at how it draws that safety over. That way this guy can't hover, right, and be in that window, opens things up. So, I mean, great call, great execution. Really, really just – overall, man, A+ call and execution by our offense there. I know you're limited on time, Slade, so I don't want to about 3 minutes or so. You got anything else you want to add to this?
Yeah, I want to ask you something. So what is something y'all ran a lot? Was it red seven in the low red? Basically, because this is essentially like a cover two man situation, because you see how tight that safety is. There's two, you know, two high, right, split safeties, but he's tight. and he's inside the hashes like that. Because look, you see that he's trying not to give up the middle of the field. So it's actually kind of a gutsy throw by Ty here, knowing that he's supposed to have safety help. I guess the safety just got his eyes lost, because you can see the corner squatting in kind of that two zone. This is a very, and I thought it was straight up man, but this is looking a little different. I'm trying to decipher what that coverage is.
I'll be honest with you. With them only rushing three guys, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to the field, 6, 7, 8, right? I mean, so they're dropping 8. They're trying to, and they're playing the goal line. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's almost like they're bracketing, you know, a couple guys maybe, or at least they're trying to. But, I mean, this is a defensive end who's dropping to the flat underneath. I agree with you. I think that safety was supposed to bracket, you know, either like an in-cutting route or maybe three. Yeah. Whoever ends up being number three, which ends up being Horton. But the corner, he had me confused. I don't know what he was looking at initially, because you see here, who's that? So 17, he ends up going to the flat. So that feels like, man, 17 right here on the back. But it looks like, who is the other guy? 23. I'm trying to, where did 23 come from? I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, it's kind of misleading on what their coverage really is.
See, he ends up getting picked by Bernard.
Yeah. Two and three, or one and two are manned up. Like the first and second receiver, so Isaiah and Jeremy, are manned up. But I'm trying to decipher whether or not
it looks like a form of man. If you see everybody looks manned up, but I think you just have these floaters, like these extra safeties that are like either bracketing, or you know what I'm saying? That's your question about what we used to play a lot of 2 and 7. Red 2, red 7. Those are like our two main things. To me, this isn't 2, because you see that corner going. This is some type of man, but it'd be like 2 man, but you know what I'm saying? It's interesting, but I'll be honest with you. I mean, great idea. Yeah, I was about to say, great idea attacking that.
I'm glad they ran that coverage. Someone could have busted as well. You never know, because the safety looks like he's like hesitant to take the middle because someone may be coming back across, which somebody would have here. Coming back from the outside to the end.
To me, it's screaming man with like a two-man type concept, because that's why 23, he got picked. He was in man. Mm-hmm. But then he got picked by Bernard, and you see everybody else manned up for the most part. But I don't know, man. Great call right there. But I will say, there's a couple other times in the game, like, man, I felt like we were being too cute. But, hey, this is an example. I love it. I love the play call. Feels like a great, great design and concept to run right there. Slate, real quick, before we let you go, I know you got like a minute left before you have to get out of here. I guess we'll get you back on, too, so you have more time. But Georgia matchup, want to give a quick 30, 45 seconds, just overall thoughts on a rematch with Georgia for the SEC championship?
I mean, to me, it's just going to be, once again, control of the line of scrimmage. When you play a team like Georgia, who does not make many mistakes, they're very good, they're very big, they're very physical, you got to not only capitalize on any kind of negative plays that they give you, but also you got to control the line of scrimmage. You got to be able to run the ball efficiently, which I know we struggled with. We looked better in this last game, but I believe as long as we control the line of scrimmage, have long sustaining drives, and then we'll be able to open up that play action pass that we have looked really good at. And man, look, at the end of the day, we're going to our second home in Atlanta, Georgia. We tend to take care of them boys and keep in Atlanta, and I'm looking forward to keeping them little brother this weekend. So I'm excited. Yeah.
Beating up on one little brother to the next.
Yeah. But hey, it's hard to beat a good team twice. So we got to be on all our P's and Q's and stay 10 toes down, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. But their defense, to be fair, has been playing much better since earlier part of the year when we did see them. So it's going to be an interesting matchup on that end as well. Slate, I appreciate it, man. Again, we'll try to get you back on here this week, too, if you got time, bro.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll shoot you a text.
Sounds like a plan, man. Slade Bolden, excuse me, former Alabama wide receiver, joining us. Big thanks to him. We'll get him back on here if we can. And Love talking football like that, just like you guys like to do. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We'll be joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson right here.
800-989-4040. Or go to selectquote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-989-4040. Details on example rate at selectquote.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
And New England, the Patriots won again. 10 straight victories for them after beating the Giants 33-15. The lead was 30-7 at the half. The Giants are 0-8 on the road this year, 2-11 overall. Drake May with two touchdown passes, 282 yards. Lions star wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown did not practice due to a sprained ankle. Detroit plays this Thursday hosting Dallas. The Mets gave reliever Devin Williams a three-year deal. U.S. women's soccer won its final exhibition of the year, 2-0 over Italy in Fort Lauderdale. NHL wins for Buffalo and Anaheim. The NBA's late game went to Phoenix, ending the Lakers' seven-game win streak, 125-108. Luka Doncic with 38 points, 9 turnovers in defeat. Dallas won at Denver, 131-121. Anthony Davis scored 32 points. And it was Cleveland winning at Indiana, 135-119. 43 points for the Cavs' Donovan Mitchell.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today 48. Clear and very cold tonight. The low 25. Tomorrow partly to mostly sunny. The high 52. Thursday cloudy. Some light rain at times during the day. The high at 48. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. We just wrapped up with former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden. Big thanks to him joining us. And now we are joined by none other than Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Clint, man, coming off an Iron Bowl victory, man, I'm sure it feels good.
Yeah, it feels pretty good. Obviously, it was a tough game. It was as expected. There for a while, I was pretty shocked when they got up 17-0. I thought, well, this isn't going anything like I thought it would. And then, of course, in typical Iron Bowl fashion, Auburn started to make their comeback and even tied the game up. But once again, as Alabama has done so many times this year, they figured out a way to get it done. So good win for Alabama, tough environment. Give Auburn a lot of credit. They played hard. But now it's on to the SEC championship, I guess.
Absolutely, man. And there's plenty I want to ask you about today. So I want to jump into it, even just starting with the Iron Bowl. I mean, what stood out to you the most? I know we talked about that, you know, the 17-0 early start. I thought we started great defense. You know, we were getting some three and outs to start the game. We were putting some points up. But then it seemed like we kind of started, staggering a little bit, getting a little sluggish offensively. Like you said, typical Iron Bowl fashion, though. I mean, you don't just expect just keep running it up like that. But one thing we did talk about was the running game, saying that, hey, we definitely think they should continue to try it. Not sure how it's going to go, but ended up resulting in 158 yards total. Jam Miller, who I'm glad, you know, the staff didn't listen to a lot of the outside noise about benching him and playing Daniel Hill the whole time, because we got to see Jam return to old form, man. I mean, that's the guy that we've seen a number of times. It was really good to see that. I hate that he got hurt. You know, it's really unfortunate he's dealing with that. But nonetheless, he was a big reason for that running game going against a really good offense, Auburn defensive line. What else really, you know, stood out to you in this game? Another question I want to ask you, Clemens, how would you assess Ty Simpson? I feel like it's kind of an interesting one because he had 3 touchdowns. He kept the ball clean, which is good, but still not necessarily in peak form like we've seen out of him. I mean, how would you assess him in this game?
Yeah, you know, I think you nailed it. The run game, I kind of started to think, based off of what I had seen against Oklahoma and what I had seen against Eastern Illinois, which, of course, there's only so much you can take away from that game. It just felt like Alabama's run game was moving in the right direction. And so it was really encouraging. We have kind of said, for whatever reason, when they go against these elite run defenses, the more elite the run defense, the better the run game seems to be. It's been very strange. And so, you know, that was kind of surprising. But also, I would have said, okay, if you would have told me going in, they were going to run for 158 yards, they were going to average 4.2 yards per carry, Jam Miller was going to average 5.5 yards a carry, I would have said, I'm guessing the passing game did pretty well off of that, like being able to establish the run and really present Auburn with some challenges on the ground that should really open up some other elements of the offense. And it really wasn't that way. The average 4.2 yards per carry on the ground, obviously sack yardage affects that. So really it was even more than that. And yet you only averaged 3.5 yards per pass attempt through the air. That's something I never thought I'd see, especially for this particular Alabama team. When you talk about the receivers, the fact the quarterback was recently in the Heisman conversation and just the inability to run the football consistently throughout the season, I think that was probably pretty shocking. Now, Ty, once again, did some really good things to put some NFL things on tape. But overall, when you look at the entire performance, I mean, I just don't think he's playing his best football right now. And I don't know really what to attribute that to, because you did start getting a complimentary run game going in this one. So that should have been able to help you a little bit. You know, I think that just what Auburn was doing as far as the aggressiveness, and they kind of did something similar to Oklahoma to kind of put some strain on him. But it just feels like that right now, Todd doesn't really trust his offensive line. And a lot of that is understandable, but there are also times where, you know, the pockets were clean and he was trying to leave a clean pocket. So, I mean, it's kind of strange what's going on offense right now. I really don't know what to make of it. But I will say, when they really need Ty to come through, Ty's been pretty clutch overall. And so still can win with him. But you would like to see him start to recapture previous form, because right now it is unfortunate with Jam Miller. Like, you know, I really think once he got back from that collarbone injury, he really starts getting things going, and then that concussion slows him down, and then finally he starts getting going a little bit against Auburn, and you start seeing that player again. And then once again, for the third time this season, a completely separate or different injury. It's just he's had a brutal season as far as the injury luck, and you hate that for him. He works extremely hard. The coaching staff loves the work ethic and the leadership. So you never want to see that. And it kind of, it's like I said on Twitter earlier, it's unfortunate, because the version that Alabama got on Saturday of Jam Miller, that's a guy that can help your run game. And that's a guy that can put strain on opposing defenses. And now, of course, as soon as you get that guy back, you know, he goes out again with an injury. You absolutely hate to see it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I was thinking that too, when he went down, I'm like, man, like it's right when he's getting going. I hate it for him, but he's a tough dude, and hopefully he can bounce back. I mean, I don't anticipate him being available in this game, but not only him. I mean, Josh Cuevas clearly still won't be available for this matchup. And an interesting one, Parker Brailsford, he was back in this game. It appeared like he came back out. He's battling through that ankle injury that he's got. How does that leave you feeling about this matchup this weekend, Clint, when you look at all the injuries? And I know George is banged up too, but we're talking about some key, you know, folks here on the offensive side for sure. You know, how do you feel like that translates into this game? I mean, did you feel pretty comfortable with the tight ends in the Iron Bowl that were filling in for Cuevas?
You know, I think the tight ends fell short in this one, and it's understandable. I mean, they're 2 true freshmen, got the most snaps, a redshirt freshman, and Jay Lindsey also, you know, was the third guy, or really in some ways the second guy. I mean, he saw the third most snaps. And then you did see some Brody Dalton, who's an experienced player, but not really on the SEC level. So, you know, and they had some good moments. I thought some of those outside runs and going against Auburn's edges, you know, I kind of worried about that going into this game, the battle of the C gap. And, you know, I thought at times they held up pretty, you know, pretty decently well. I also think they struggled in some ways, and especially in the passing game, where I really thought a guy like Marshall Pritchard could help. He kind of fell short. It's a big stage. I understand it. No reason to jump off that train. I still think he's got a very bright future in Tuscaloosa. But just, yeah, I mean, the injuries are a concern because you talk about, you know, your starting running back in Jam Miller, who's been banged up all year. You talk about your number three, or who a guy who had emerged as your number three in Kevin Riley. Wouldn't expect him to be back this weekend against Georgia. You talk about Parker Brailsford and just the injury, you know, kind of limiting him. Bare minimum, you're getting a non-100% Parker Brailsford. That's best case scenario. Worst case is he's unable to go, and you got to go to Geno Vandermark as your full-time center. Thought Geno was pretty decent as far as getting out in space and stuff. I thought he actually probably performed a little bit better at center than he has at guard in some ways. Still an issue in pass protection. Parker on one foot was also kind of an issue in pass protection. But then you start talking about, I don't think Ryan Williams is 100%, and I don't think he's been 100% all year. Doesn't mean it's any sort of significant injury. I just think he's been banged up and kind of dealing with some things. Jeremy Bernard was not 100% going into this game. He missed last week's game due to an injury. And so, you know, while he was able to play, don't think you can do a lot of the things. There for a while, they were getting him 4 to 5 carries a game as far as using him on jets, maybe putting him in the backfield some. You're not seeing that pretty much at all. Every once in a while, you might get one here or there. But Lottie Brooks has kind of taken over that role to an extent with maybe one or two here or there. And so that's kind of, that's been something that they've kind of tried to do as far as to complement not having a run game, or try to compensate for not having a traditional run game that was consistent. But it's just across the board, a lot of injuries. They're playing through it. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Ty Simpson was also a little bit banged up. And if he wasn't going into the Iron Bowl, I certainly would say that he's probably at least getting in the ice bath this week. Because, I mean, he took some shots. And some of that was self-inflicted. Some of it wasn't. But, you know, I like the fact that they used his legs a little bit more to kind of try to compensate for some of the things that maybe they're lacking right now. But he can also needs to try to avoid as many of those big shots as possible, and he took several of them against Auburn. So it's a banged-up offense. It's not an excuse, though. We've seen this all year pretty much as far as the inconsistency, so you can't chalk it up to a bunch of injuries. But at the same time, it's pretty evident when you talk about all of those guys and then Josh Quavis and Danny Lewis not being available at tight end. It's going to affect the product on the field. There's no doubt about it.
We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, at Cover Crimson on YouTube, on X, as well as Clint R. Lamb on X, is Clint's personal. Clint, you mentioned Danny Lewis. Is there any, I guess, news or update on what he's been battling or dealing with? I'm just curious because I'll be honest with you. I mean, I feel like he hasn't, I feel like he's been available maybe like 2 or 3 games this whole year. But I don't think they ever really formally announced much. I mean, is there any knowledge there?
Well, what I will say is that, you know, Ryan Grubb, back before the season in fall camp, we got to see some of the open periods of practice, and he was talking. You know, I noticed that at the time, I want to say it was Danny Lewis and Josh Quavis. They were both off working to the side. Both of them looked hobbled. Quavis looked a lot better than Danny Lewis did, though. Lewis, which could barely even move or run a route, they were trying to kind of warm up his ankle. And then, of course, Ryan Grubb got out there for the press conference that day and pretty much said that he went through things and he looked fine. And I couldn't believe that based off of what I had seen. It was completely shocking. And then, of course, when you get to the season and pretty much what I had seen was kind of par for the course as far as him having to miss some games in some time. And you know, I know that it's lower body. We think that it's ankle. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not, but just he's been unable to really get on the field and provide any sort of consistent snaps. And really, as of late, we haven't seen him at all. So I don't know what it looks like for him. I don't know if it would be a situation where if they could get through this SEC championship game, have a you know, 2 or so weeks off, maybe 3 weeks off, if they can win the SEC championship, maybe that would give him enough time to get healthy. But that is, I haven't heard anything on him. And that is really interesting because I know that the coaching staff that kind of told you everything you needed to know about him when he entered the transfer portal back in the offseason. I mean, they needed a big lob blocking tight end who could also provide a little bit of a presence as far as the pass catching. They were courting a lot of them once he entered the portal, but their priority was to get him back out of the portal. How many guys really went in that they talked out of, you know, the portal? So it kind of told you that they really valued what he brought to the table as kind of a veteran presence in that room. And just it's unfortunate because it's another injury that has kind of held back the offense a little bit. And, you know, they've had to rely on a tight end, a freshman tight end, who I think is going to be a really good player, but he's young and it's just going to take him a little bit of time. So, yeah, I mean, everybody kind of deals with it to some extent. I mean, injuries happen, but yeah, there's been some pretty key ones on offense.
Absolutely. And I've always been interested in his status just because there's not much, like you mentioned, other than back when he was banged up. But recently they haven't really mentioned anything else other than that. So definitely will be interesting, especially knowing that Quavis is out and they really could use his ability. Because, I mean, you mentioned being that bigger presence in the C area. But he also does have some athletic ability early in his career. I mean, he showed that when he did get some limited opportunities. So we'll have to see. I mean, I don't expect him to be available, but would be interesting if he does become available at some point. Clint, while we got you on here, the SEC championship game is this weekend. We're familiar with who we're facing. We've got a Georgia football team who we beat back in, what was it, week 4, week 5 of the college football season. Now we'll see them in Atlanta, familiar territory for both of these teams as well. When I look at this Georgia team, Clint, they look a lot better than they did back when we played them. I know we're struggling with some things offensively. Our defense is playing a lot better, but I would say the same thing about these guys. I think at the time we played them, their defense was still kind of figuring out their identity, struggling getting to the quarterback and whatnot. But I feel like since then they've patched some things up. What's your kind of overall outlook right now when you look at this matchup in the SEC championship game against Georgia?
Yeah, I clearly think Georgia's trending. You know, I think they're moving in the right direction. They're kind of starting to peak at the right time. Granted, they didn't look great against Georgia Tech, so I guess that was a little bit of a step back. But they have some talent. There's no doubt about it. As far as, you know, offensive line is concerned, Drew Bobo potentially being out, that could be a massive problem for Georgia. I think Tim Keenan's playing really good football right now. James Smith has been pretty disruptive. Edric Hill has been pretty disruptive. Like on the interior, they're getting pretty good play, including London Simmons as well. So, I mean, that could be an advantage for Alabama. Now, granted, you know, them running the football and stuff and how effective they were in the first matchup, I really think Gunnar Stockton's starting to come into his own a little bit. I think overall he's playing, you know, really good football. Once again, didn't play great against Georgia Tech. And if you look at his last two games, I mean, I think he has like 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. So it's not like he's just, you know, dominating or anything like that. But prior to those last two games against Texas, he looked really good, completed over 80% of his passes, 4 touchdowns against Mississippi State, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So he'd been playing really good football for Georgia. And I think his, you know, ability to be mobile really adds a wrinkle in the plus one run game when they need, you know, him to be. I think the passing game has started to come on a little bit, and they've, you know, it's not a dominant passing game, but I think offensively it really complements what they do in the run game. And then defensively, it seems like they're starting to kind of figure some things out on that side of the football, which I think has been pretty key. And when you really look at what kind of Auburn did with Xavier Atkins and Lewis, the off-ball linebacker for Oklahoma, kind of, you know, attacking the A-gaps, being very aggressive with the pressure, I think those two guys combined for 3.5 sacks in those two games, with several more pressures. You talk about C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson. That's two guys, more so Raylan Wilson than probably C.J. Allen, but those are two guys that can really get after you and put some strain on you as far as being off-ball blitzers and guys that you can maybe line up in different places, maybe line them up on the line of scrimmage, let them get after the quarterback. And so I wouldn't be shocked at all based off of what they saw in Alabama's previous two SEC games, if you saw a little bit more of that from them relative to the first matchup. So that's something else to keep an eye on. It's a good Georgia team. They're trending. Alabama seems in a lot of ways to be moving in the wrong direction, despite the fact that it hasn't. I mean, when you talk about moving in the wrong direction, they still figure out a way to win out of their last 5 or 6 games, you know, 5 of them. So, I mean, it's not like it's just completely falling apart. You just aren't seeing the ball control and the strain that the passing game was putting on opposing teams or opposing defenses early. And I think that it's made things a little bit more difficult for everybody. But the defense right now is playing good football for Alabama, and I would fully expect that to continue this weekend against Georgia.
Yeah, I fully expect it to be a big defensive matchup, given that both defenses are playing their best ball right now. And like you mentioned, you know, offensively, we're still trying to get back on schedule, and hopefully we can find a way to do that, even though we will be fighting against the injury bug and everything else that we've been dealing with. But I think it will be an interesting game. We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, again, at Cover Crimson on YouTube, on X, at Clint R. Lamb on X as well. Clint, I got to ask you, we mentioned his name earlier, but a lot of speculation right now. Ryan Williams' first game, I believe, in his career with no targets at all. I know you mentioned you feel like he's not fully healthy. Do you feel like that's kind of all it is to it? You've got some people, and I don't believe this at all, but thinking that, you know, he could be gone next year. Maybe things aren't going as well. Do you think it's just a matter of, you know, him being banged up? Do you think, you know, playing him a little bit more in the slot has had an effect? I mean, what do you sum it up to be with Ryan Williams, and why we haven't not only seen him be as effective as he once was, but also now seeing less and less opportunities? Granted, I will say this. I know from a coaching perspective, I mean, you feed hot players, and right now you got a guy by Latsier Brooks and Horton and even Bernard. All those guys are producing well and playing some good football. So, I mean, I understand on that aspect, but do you think there's more to this thing? Or?
Well, you know, I think it's a combination of factors, and I think you hit on a lot of them. I do think that to some extent he's probably banged up. He's been on the injury report on and off of it. I think he has been pretty much banged up for a majority of the year, even dating back to Florida State. He just didn't look 100% healthy pretty much out the gate. Not excusing the drops or anything, but just the movement. I think he's kind of been zapped a little bit. I think, you know, as far as playing in the slot, I don't think that's really where he's comfortable. You talk about Jerry Bernard, and he's kind of been that featured piece where, you know, I guess in a lot of ways you would probably view him due to his consistency and reliability as your number one receiver. And so you kind of want to put him in the best position to be successful. And so while he will play in the slot and he can play in the slot, he also being that Z receiver lining up off the line of scrimmage, using him in motion, getting him on jets and doing a lot of those things, that's beneficial for your offense. So I think that's kind of where it started. Isaiah Horton's kind of a pure X outside receiver. Really not going to see him lining up in the slot very much. You didn't see it at Miami. You haven't seen it at Alabama. And so that kind of leaves the slot for Ryan Williams. Now, when you start comparing Ryan Williams, the slot receiver, versus Latsier Brooks, the slot receiver, I mean, as talented as I think Ryan Williams is, I think he's a much more effective player on the outside. So I would probably give the lean to Brooks there. Now, here's what I'll say moving forward. A, I don't like to put this idea of, you know, hey, a guy's not seeing targets or he's not playing it done. Let's just go ahead and assume that he's jumping into the transfer portal. If he jumps into the transfer portal and it's on his own accord and that's what he wants to do, we can discuss it and hash it out and talk about the impact and all this stuff then. I just have never been a fan of putting all these things out there and getting in people's heads. I mean, I'm not saying that he hadn't thought about it or anybody else that's maybe seeing limited usage or maybe they're frustrated with their role or whatever. But I'm saying just don't put it out there and just act like that's this foregone conclusion. But what I will say is when you look ahead to 2026, Jerome Bernard is not going to be back next year. So even if Isaiah Horton is back, he can be your X, Ryan can be your Z, and then you could have Lottie Brooks as your slot. And so that would put him back on the outside. You're obviously going to play Ryan Williams at the X as well. I think getting him isolated, you know, is obviously good for him. So I would fully expect next year, if he has been banged up, giving him an offseason to get healthy, get things back on track, continue to get bigger and stronger, and then getting him back on the outside. I just see a lot of solutions to what I see as the problems this year where I'm not overly concerned about it. But the other thing that I'll say about the entire wide receiver room is, you know, if Alabama had like one or maybe two really good wide receivers, you just had Slade Bolden on your show, one of my all-time favorites, love the Slade cat. But, I mean, I think we can all agree, and I'm sure Slade would probably agree too, like you had John Metchie, you had Jameson Williams, and then, you know, Slade was a fine number three, no doubt about it, but there was probably a little bit of a gap there, right? So if that's the way things are structured, you're really going to try to feature those top two guys. Well, not only does Alabama not have this significant gap, and you start working the wide receiver three and four and five, and there's not really a difference between five and one, to be or five and two, to be honest with you. So it's like if he was Jeremiah Smith, if he was doing Jeremiah Smith types of things, then Alabama would go out of its way. I don't care who else we got in the room. We're going to make sure he's getting tons of targets and tons of opportunities. But right now, where Ryan has kind of fallen short a little bit is I still think he's a really good player. He just hadn't taken that next step and become that elite player in college football. And that's why, like, when you compare that to the other guys, there's no real reason to force feed the football to Ryan Williams at this point when you've got those other guys in the room. So, you know, I fully expect Ryan to eventually get things back on track. Drops, he's got to take care of those, but I still believe in the talent overall. I just think it's a kind of a combination of circumstances right now that have contributed.
I think you're spot on. And me and my dad used to talk about that. I mean, I think what happened, unfortunately, last year there was so much attention and emphasis on the splash explosive plays. But if you go back and watch the tape, I mean, there still was a lot of stuff that he needed to work on and develop, which makes sense. He's so young and, you know, he's only a true freshman and was young to be a true freshman for that. And I think you're right. I mean, he'll get back on track. There's no denying that. I mean, he's got the potential. He has to do a few things, and I'm sure getting healthy is one of those. But I fully expect that. It's just like you said, people jump to conclusions. They immediately say, oh, well, he's probably leaving. But I don't think so at all. I think, you know, it's only a matter of time until things get back rolling for him, and he ends up, you know, returning to form and even better than before. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. At that point, real quick, Clint, I appreciate you hanging on with us and hanging out, man. Great stuff as always. I got to get your thoughts to this Tuesday meeting. The rankings will be coming out tonight. These are not the most important. The final ones are, but I feel like they are pretty important because it kind of sets up for what could be, I guess, a dramatic weekend after conference championship games. A lot of people still wondering, will Alabama, right now everything's good, right? I mean, we're playing the conference championship game, but wondering what happens barring the result, right? Whether you win or lose this game. I know there's been some changes in the odds in Vegas, which makes people believe that we should be in regardless. Is that your understanding? How confident, Clint, are you that Alabama will see themselves in the college football playoffs regardless of the outcome of this championship game this weekend?
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you, if they're going to move Alabama ahead of Notre Dame, that's got to happen now. You know, right. Granted, they'll move Alabama ahead of them if they win this weekend regardless. But I am very much and have been of the belief it is, even if Notre Dame's sitting at home, it is very difficult. You might not want to drop Alabama, but it would be very difficult to have Alabama jump Notre Dame should Alabama lose a football game. You might not punish them for playing in the SEC championship, but rewarding them simply for playing, I don't know that that's how the committee would view it. So if tonight Alabama ends up being ahead of Notre Dame, which I do think is a slight possibility, then I think Alabama's completely safe. If they remain at number 10, how things are going to work with the two conference champs, automatic qualifiers that are going to come in at 11 and 12, it all comes down to BYU. Because if BYU beats Texas Tech, then they've got to come up there too. And Alabama's that next team sitting at number 10 that would automatically drop them out. Now, a lot of people's argument is going to be, well, hang on, why can't you drop Texas Tech out? Well, first of all, I think they're up there. I think the committee has a lot of respect for them. They're currently ranked number 5. And so having them drop from 5 completely out, not only am I not sure the committee would do that, you're saying you can't punish Alabama for losing a conference championship game, and then you're going to punish Texas Tech for losing a conference championship game against a team that they've already beat once so far this season. It's the exact same situation as Alabama. Now, I would make the argument that the SEC and the Big Ten, those conference championship games should be treated differently. The committee has not made that clarification or that distinction. So the assumption should be, just as it was with SMU last year, even though it's the ACC or the Big 12, you're not going to punish Texas Tech in that instance. So what are you going to do? You know, it's got to be Notre Dame or it's got to be Oklahoma. But if they felt that Alabama should be ahead of them, then they're probably going to do that tonight. And if they do choose to do that, I think Alabama will be in fantastic shape. If they don't, doesn't mean Alabama's out of it, even with a loss. It means you need to be huge Texas Tech fans on Saturday. And the good part about it is they're playing before the SEC championship. So you'll know one way or another. If Alabama's at 10 tonight, you'll know exactly what Alabama needs to do when the SEC championship kicks off. Because if Texas Tech wins, you know you're good. It doesn't matter. But if they lose, if BYU wins, then you know with Alabama being at that 10 spot, you're probably going to have to beat Georgia in order to get in. And at least you know that going into the football game. So it's going to be interesting, but that's definitely something to keep an eye on tonight.
Man, it definitely is going to be interesting. Number of bubble teams, man, I feel for them, man. You got a couple teams that have had some good seasons that are right there on the cusp, but it's just not enough, man. I mean, I'm looking at like a Vanderbilt. I know Texas, I respect them for playing Ohio State week one. You know, if they don't do that, they played a cupcake, they probably would be in the conversation a little bit, but unfortunately, I mean, there's just a number of teams that Unfortunately, I think that what might happen, Clint, is this kind of pushes it to the 16-team playoff. Because, I mean, we're starting to see, just like everybody thought, and Coach Saban said this, I mean, the 14 wasn't enough, but then we also said, all right, now people are just going to be fighting for 11 and 12. And that's exactly kind of where we're at. And it's probably going to expand, which leads to more money and all that stuff. So it's interesting, but hopefully Alabama falls on the right side of things, because it you never know with this committee, especially the way they've made some comments earlier on in the year. But running game has been better since they made these comments. So hopefully they're paying attention to that. Hey, Clint, man, I appreciate you for hanging out and joining us like you do on Tuesdays. Hopefully next Tuesday we're talking about a conference championship win and a trip booked to the playoffs. But before we let you go, Clint, make sure you remind everybody, they already know who you are, but where to keep up and read all the good stuff that you're putting out.
Yeah, YouTube, Cover Crimson, wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, the Cover Crimson Podcast Network. That podcast network is pretty important. And then also you can find us pretty much on all socials at Cover Crimson. And then also me personally at Clint R. Lim on Twitter. Once again, Christian, appreciate you having me on. Definitely agree. Hope we're talking an Alabama win come next Tuesday. But either way, we'll be on and we'll be reacting to whatever the news of the day is.
That's right. Hopefully it's some good news. That would be much better for both of us. Clint, I appreciate you, brother. Take care, man. Have a great rest of your day.
Absolutely. Good talking to you, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, bro. Good deal. You heard the man? Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, always joining us on Tuesdays. Great stuff, as always. Hitting the nail on the head, always. Enjoy having him on here, man. Clint, I tell you, best in the business when it comes to breaking things down, man. He's a book of knowledge, so make sure you guys check him out. Like you said, at Cover Crimson on pretty much everything, socials, YouTube, podcast platforms, and at Clint R. Lamb for his personal as well. We got to hit a timeout and catch up on some breaks, so might be a couple minutes. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. We're going to open it up to you guys on this Talking Tuesday, 205-342-9904. We'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on everything we've talked about with Slade, what we've talked about with Clint, and more. There's plenty to talk about right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 35% off. That's Lenovo.com. Lenovo.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
Or find us on Facebook, Andrew Conifer Agency. Once again, you can reach us at 205-722-9201. Allstate, are you in good hands?
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on
7th, for just a few more days, you can get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149.
Early fave, so hurry. Get more gifting for your buck and save 10% on Target gift cards with Target Circle for 2 days only. Only at Target. Restrictions apply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
We are here,
treating patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors,
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact
829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa. Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today, 48. Clear and very cold tonight, the low 25. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 52. Thursday, cloudy, some light rain at times during the day, the high at 48. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Big thanks to Clint Lamb, who just joined us on the phone lines, as he does every Tuesday at the top of the hour. Again, Clint R. Lamb on X, at Cover Crimson on all platforms, YouTube, podcast platforms, where you can find all the good stuff that he's doing. And big shout out to Slade Bolden, who joined us at 1130 as well, all right, now it's time to go to you guys real quick before we do that. Got to remind you about our friends over at R&R Cigars. Make sure you guys check them out for the best cigar mansion in the Southeast, best humidor in the Southeast, official cigar providers of Alabama football since 2014. Plus, they've got over 160 bourbons for you to try. If you're ever looking for a place to go watch any sports, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, they're always playing them on the TVs there. Go hang out, have a great time. Plus, you can always go to their website and use that code Miller's Edge, rnrcigars.com. For a big discount, plus they do free shipping on qualified orders. You can't miss it. 2703 Gary Fitz Street. Plus, don't forget, they're also doing the toy drive now. They were doing the food drive. They concluded that. Now they are doing a toy drive. So if you also want to go donate and help out there, 2703 Gary Fitz Street is where you can find the mansion. Go drop off some toys. Help a family out. That is a need this holiday season. If you have that ability, they would love your help as well. So again, that is R&R Cigars. Check them out. And no, by the way, they are using the new official Yay Alabama alcohol beverages for their drinks that they make there. So you can always try that there as well. At R&R Cigars, to the phone lines you go, 205-342-9904. We got Robbie Glenn up first. Robbie, welcome in.
Hey, Christian. How you doing, bud?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Great. Doing good. Had a good Thanksgiving. Iron Bowl win was good. So, you know, that game's gone. It is what it is. We won. So now we can focus on Georgia and our home away from home, and expect another great game with them. I expect in this game, I don't know what it is about this game every year, but somebody steps up that either hasn't had the best year, whether that's like a Ryan Williams, this is the game he shines, or a younger player that we know is going to be good but hadn't had playing time, like A.K. Deer, you know, one of the other receivers, Daniel Hill, someone like that, just this is the game he shines and comes out and gets us the win with some big, big catches, big runs, whatever it is. It happens every year. You know, the obvious was Tua to Smith. We knew they were going to be great, but, you know, it didn't happen until that game, and then they went on 2-3 years to have the best careers. So that's what I'm expecting in this game. Someone's going to step up and shine. Who do you think would be your player?
Well, that's an interesting one. Looking at the offense, well, you've got Jan Miller, who's going to be out. You got Quavis, who's going to be out. So some typical playmakers there. But I think Daniel Hill will be, you know, a big factor in this game. I mean, we got to try to, you know, find a way to keep running the football. I mean, last few weeks, I mean, Clint called it. He said, I mean, you know, when we play these teams with good fronts and good defenses, we normally step up to the plate. And we saw that against Auburn. We saw a little bit against Oklahoma. So we're trending in the right direction there. Got to give credit to the offensive line. They've been doing a much better job. I think this unit that they've kind of settled with Proctor and Dewberry, and you've got Brailsford slash Vandermark, because Brailsford's banged up, your center is, which that's also a concern. But then on the right side, you know, settling with Wilkin and Michael Carroll, I think they've done a pretty nice job. So tip my hat to them. We just need Daniel Hill to be able to take the load and be able to have a solid running game, because I think that'll be important in this game. Georgia's defense has definitely looked a lot better since the last time we faced them. And so I think running the football will definitely help take some more pressure off of Ty. But that being said, if I had to pick somebody, I mean, I know Jeremy Bernard's been banged up, but I mean, I can't help but lean towards either. I mean, I want to say Ryan, but I just feel like at this point, just kind of like Clint said, I mean, you can't force anything. Now, maybe they end up trying to get him some more opportunity. We kind of saw that, you know, once he came back from, I forgot what game it was he came back. It was earlier in the year, I think maybe ULM, but we saw him. They tried to feed him the ball on some screens and just get the ball in his hands, some end arounds, trying to let him make plays. I mean, maybe they try to do that, but I just don't know at this point. And I just know, you know, seeing Horton, and then when you have a healthy Bernard, those guys, they step up big in big moments. I mean, they're very reliable. I wouldn't be shocked if either one of those go off for a big game, similar to what you saw out of Horton out of the Auburn game. On the other side of the football, man, I'll say, I mean, you can't help. You feel like you have to throw Bray in the equation, as reliable as he is, forcing turnovers. But if I had to pick somebody else, I don't know. Give me a guy like Deontay Lawson stepping up, having a big game, or even one of the guys up front. I would love to see somebody up front kind of take over, have a multi-sack game. I mean, to me, that you make a lot of money in an SEC championship game. If you start getting after the quarterback like that, you can make yourself a lot of money. So whether it's Jean-Zay Pierre coming back on the scene like he did against Tennessee, I don't know. It's tough to say. It's tough to say, Robbie. I'll be honest. At this point, it's hard to say. We have a lot of guys.
Like you said, if we can get some pressure on them and get some turnovers, that will be big too. We get a pick six, you know, something like that that we almost had against Auburn a couple of times. We just dropped. Also, I'm going to say one thing. Proctor, if you're listening and you do happen to catch a pass, please do not wait on your blocks to set up. You are not Ryan Williams. Just catch it and run over everybody in your way. Have them guys make a career decision. If they're going to come up and tackle you, do not go to that sideline, because that's the only chance they can get you is pushing you out of bounds. Take it to them. Like, just wreak havoc on anybody that comes towards your way. Like, that's what I want to see, because I think he's going to be into this game again. So, but everything's got to give Ty some time back there, and I think he's going to have a good game too. Just give him some time.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news is they've been doing a pretty solid job with giving them some time, man. I just think I went back watching the Auburn game. I mean, I don't think Jeremy, and I know he wasn't fully healthy because he was on the injury report the week prior, but I feel like it was a little obvious that guys just are a little banged up, which everybody at this point in the season, I mean, as a football player,
everybody is,
but I feel like it was a little noticeable. Guys are just, I mean, whether just look a little hobbled up, so hopefully they can find a way to rejuvenate as fast as possible. But I'll say this about Proctor. I mean, hopefully we're not running any screens with him in this game. I know we ran one last time. That was cool and all, but best believe them dudes are going to be a little bit more prepared for it this time. So hopefully don't resort to that. Hopefully we can just go line up and beat them just playing regular, you know, big boy football. But hey, if we need him in the game plan, so be it. Just hold on to the football, big guy, please.
Yeah, hold on. But how do you prepare to stop a 370-pounder catching the ball? There's nothing you can do to prepare for that.
you just gang tackle is what you do. I just get worried about that stuff because, again, you're talking about a guy who doesn't, you know, typically hold the football much. So, I mean, just like any time you see defensive guys get an interception, there's a much higher probability that those guys fumble the football compared to an offensive player. That's how I view that. That's the only reason I'm kind of like, I know I'm a Debbie Downer when it comes to that, but I've seen it too many times where I'm like, man, like, sometimes you try to get too fancy, then it backfires. And to me, I'm like, in a game like this, maybe ULM, cool, but I know we did it against them one time, but I'm like, all right, that's cool. We did it. We got out of it clean. Let's just leave it, but we'll see.
And real quick, what is going on with Quavis' injury? Did I miss? I know he had a foot injury, like a broken bone, but did he have surgery, or is this just a pain management time healing thing to get him back?
I don't know the status on like what they did procedural wise, but I mean, if it was pain management, I guarantee you they would be shooting that foot slash ankle or whatever
that
it is.
Foot up.
And, yeah. And spatting them up just like, you know, Parker Brailsford did. It's evident that it's something a little bit more than just being able to, you know, carry the load of maybe, or the dealing with the pain. Does that make sense? I mean, I see how Brailsford's pushing through it. I think if Quavis was able to, without a doubt, he would. I just don't think with this injury, whatever it may be, is he's able to right now. I think he just has to be out for an extended period of time.
It's like the quietest injury of, like, you don't hear anything about. Like, I figured he had surgery to try to get him ready for the playoffs, but I don't know.
It's like Danny Lewis. I mean, how much have we heard about Danny? I mean, dude, Danny Lewis has played, what, two or three games? And I don't think they ever even officially said what he's dealing with. I mean, because he's on and off the injury report, but then he's not really available either way. I at this point, I'm not 100% sure what he even has.
Well, I'd like to get him back because that is one nightmare for a defense. So hopefully he can get back by the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and those two tight ends, I think, could be instrumental. Not only just in the passing game. I mean, you've heard me and my dad talk about tight ends being a quarterback's best friend, and that's exactly what Quavis became. And then even Danny Lewis, I mean, having those two guys in there versus the youth and inexperienced guys that we saw against Auburn, I think those could be, you know, key factors in a game like this. But unfortunately, you just got to, you know, play without them. And Caleb Edwards is a good player. I like him a lot. You know, Pritchard and some of the other guys they played, I think they're just young, still trying to get experience. But
still learning.
Still learning. I think we'll be okay, but I definitely think it would be a lot better if we did have those guys, especially Quavis.
Well, see, maybe it could be one of them that have the breakout game. Like I said, this game always brings out somebody. Yeah.
That's true.
I appreciate it, Christian. Always good talking to you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, Robbie. I appreciate you, man. Take care. Good deal. All right, Chase, I guess we'll just combine a whole bunch of breaks, right? So we'll just combine this last one as well since we're so close. We'll just go ahead and get Chris from Decatur on here as we close things out. Chris, welcome in.
What's up, man? I'm enjoying the show. I ain't had a chance to call in a while, but I've been listening to you, and I've still been enjoying it. I got a couple things, man, I want to run by you. You talking about having a breakout game. I believe it's going to be somebody like I like that Mensa kid. I like him. I don't know what position he actually plays, but I'm kind of figuring that he will probably be more like of a spy on the quarterback because he likes to take off and run. And I'm going towards Pierre. I think Pierre going to have a highlight game Saturday.
Who was the first name you said?
I'm sorry. Number 12,
Mincy. Oh, Mincy.
I think. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, he had a tough one this past Saturday just because he had the one where he was responsible for two big plays. One, he dropped that interception, but then the other one, he had a bad angle and they led to a touchdown. But I will say this, I do like his skill set. I was talking about him the other day. I mean, he kind of gives you that flexibility where he's a big body guy playing safety. Or you can bring him down, especially like dime packages, and he could be more of like that dime linebacker and you know, play in the box and do a lot of that because, you know, the size permits him to. So he's going to be fine. I just think he just needs some more reps too. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you never know. I mean, listen, if he caught that interception, it's a whole different thing. People probably forget a little bit more about the big touchdown that he was in coverage on. But, you know, unfortunately, he didn't come up with it. But you're right. I think the potential is there for him to, you know, be a really good football player too.
Yeah, I like his effort. I think he plays hard. I think every play he don't take time out. He's playing every play. But I got one more thing I want you to think about. Is there such thing as a healthy playbook or a weak playbook? I'm beginning to think that Ryan Grubb playbook is like on the weak side because when he meets a coordinator of a statue of like the Oklahoma coach or Kirby Smart. He always letting Auburn's coach, defensive minded coaches that's good. He seems to let them back in the game. I mean, I think if he had expanded playbook, seemed like, you know, once he gets the lead, he's too conservative with his plays. You know, seemed like the same plays was kind of called over and over once we get the lead. And then I really believe that's how we let a lot of teams back in. If we can just keep it wide open and and like fourth and two, like we went for it on, if we could do that all game, I believe, you know, a lot of those scores, teams getting back in the game, I don't think that will happen. And I'm going to hang up and roll tide, and we'll take it home this weekend.
Yes, sir. Chris, I appreciate you, man. Good stuff. Good to hear from you. Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, you know, we broke down that play. Shout out to Slade, you know, definitely offering a bunch of comments on that and detailing that fourth and two he's talking about. Only thing is, I mean, as much as you like those things and those concepts, I mean, you got to be a little reserved with some of it because you do want to save some for those moments, right? When you do have like those, you know, now or never moments. But at the same time, I'm with him. But I would say, in terms of being too conservative, if anything, I think sometimes we try to do like a little bit too much at certain times. You know what I mean? Try to get too fancy sometimes. I just, again, that's just my, I'm not trying to criticize anything. I just, sometimes I feel like we could probably simplify. But at the same time, the players, if you're going to simplify, you got to be able to trust them to execute when it is simplified. I mean, if you go back and look into one of the reasons our running game was a little bit more effective too, is we didn't run in between the tackles as much. We did a lot of pin and pull, like this play that's pulled up right here, trying to attack the perimeter, and we saw success with that. So I think they're just trying to do what they can by leaning into what we've done better than some of the other things. So you got to take that into consideration too. So they're trying, but I definitely hear what you guys are saying. All right, we got to close things out for this Talking Tuesday. Big thanks to Chase behind the glass. Big thanks to all you listeners, Title 2.9, YouTube, Facebook. Big thanks to our guests, Slade Bolden, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Per usual, we will see you guys again tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We'll see you guys then.